I'd like to discuss a topic which is relevant to everyday or weekly Jewish life, but with advances in technology will probably become increasingly irrelevant, as people are less and less likely to subscribe to print newspapers. So I figured we might as well speak about this topic now while people actually still subscribe to newspapers, before the time arrives when no one has subscribed to newspapers. The topic I want to discuss is really comes in two parts, because it really is two separate issues. The first one is in reading the Shabbos newspaper, which is your typical whatever paper suits your fancy. There's a whole industry has exploded in terms of Shabbos literature. I'm not talking about things that have Jewish content, particularly like articles of Jewish interest. That's a separate issue. But I'm talking about probably no issue. I'm talking about publications that give you a version of the weekly news, but are Jewish publications and made basically for reading on Shabbos. And then we'll deal with that issue, Mr. Chairman. And then after that, we have to deal with subscribing to a paper that is actually printed on Shabbos morning, Saturday morning, and then delivered to your home, which is an entirely different issue. Shabbos papers are usually printed on Wednesday, usually available in most stores by Thursday, which is the version of that week's news. So that's one issue, though. Can you read that on Shabbos? But even if we manage to sidestep that issue, we have to deal with the issue of having a newspaper printed for you and delivered to your home on Shabbos. The issue with, in terms of reading a version of the news, which is printed just for Shabbos, but it's printed before Shabbos, really gets started with the Pasuk in Sefer Yeshaya, in Perek Minches, where the Pasuk states, V'karasal v'Shabbos oneg, you should call Shabbos a delight, V'ktosh Hashem echubad, a holy day for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is honorable, V'chibadato me'asos derechecha, you honor it. How do you honor Shabbos? Me'asos derechecha, by not doing your own ways, me'asos chafatzecha, by not pursuing your own business, v'daber davar, speaking of vain matters, and then you should delight in the Ribbono Shel Olam. So if you look at the first source, the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos and Daf Kuf Yud Gimel learns a lot of different halachos about the way a person is supposed to conduct himself, generally speaking, on Shabbos, and how it's supposed to be different than the way he conducts himself during the week. So the Gemara says, V'chibadato, you should honor it, Shelo Yei Mabushcha Shel Shabbos, Ki Mabushcha Shel Chol, the clothes that a person wears on Shabbos, it's supposed to be different than the clothes that he wears during the week. And then the Gemara says, out of the words, me'asos derechecha, that you're not supposed to do your ways. A person is allowed to run. We run from place to place during the week. Shabbos, a person is not supposed to run from place to place. He's supposed to walk benachas, unless he's running for a mitzvah, he's allowed to run to shul. But other than that, he's supposed to walk differently on Shabbos than the way he walks during the week. And then, mornogeyatas, mimitzah chafatzecha, you're not supposed to pursue your own business. Chafatzecha asur and chafti shamayim and mutarim. Person is not supposed to think about doing his business or malachos, weekly activities on Shabbos. He's supposed to think about other activities. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch comments, one is not allowed to think about doing a malacha on Shabbos in a conspicuous fashion. If one is just daydreaming and he's thinking about the malachos that he plans to do in the following week, that is allowed. But let's say a person needs to run out on Motzei Shabbos, so he goes and he waits by the bus stop. On Shabbos, he's waiting there by the bus stop. So he's obviously thinking about, in a conspicuous fashion, a malacha that he plans to do in the following week. So that's also, the Shulchan Aruch says, because you're not supposed to think in an obvious way about malacha. So let's say a person walks on Shabbos, he's in Manhattan for Shabbos, and he decides to go window shopping down Fifth Avenue. So if it looks like it's inconspicuous, Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa says, if that's what people do to relax, if they walk down Fifth Avenue window shopping, that's allowed. Not advisable necessarily, but allowed. But if a person is doing it because he's looking at see what he plans to buy in the following week, so then that would be also because he's thinking about doing a malacha in a conspicuous and an obvious way. That's chafatzecha asurim chefte shamayim amutarim. However, I'm sorry, and then the Gemara continues, V'daber davar, you're not supposed to discuss vain matters. The way a person speaks on Shabbos also is supposed to be different than the way he speaks during the week. So let's say, not only thinking about a malacha in a conspicuous fashion, but discussing openly doing a malachos in the following week is asur. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. If a person wants to say, I'm traveling next week to Florida, Well, how about me? Shlomo, traveling next week to Florida. I'm traveling next week to Florida. So the Shmir Shabbos Hilchas Hakotz from Shlomo Zalman, that is allowed because you didn't say how you're traveling. You didn't say maybe you're walking, or maybe you're riding a bike, or traveling. Even he says even if you're traveling to Eretz Israel, where it's more obviously taking a plane. So he says, no, but maybe you're taking a boat or whatever. You're not explicitly discussing doing malacha. But if you say, I plan to drive next week to Florida, I plan to fly next week to Florida, so it says in the Shulchan Aruch that's not proper, because you're discussing doing malacha in the following week. Or certainly to say, I plan to close such a business deal in the following week, is also because Shalai Yehei Diburcha Shal Shabbos Ki Diburcha Bacho. However, if it's something that's in the past, something that occurred already, so I can discuss a deal that I got last week. Sometimes you have people say, feel uncomfortable discussing business deals that happened already. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, if it happened already, that is allowed. Unless I'm trying to encourage somebody to say, I got this deal to Florida, an airline, why don't you try and get it in the following week? That's us then. But if it's only in discussing things that already happened in the past, then that is allowed. If it's for a mitzvah, so the Gemara says, Cheftzei Shomayim Mutarim. I want to discuss business, or I want to discuss the business of the shul, or making a donation to the shul. That's all allowed on Shabbos. Buying an aliyah, that's all allowed. But if it's chafatzecha, if it's my business, so then you're not supposed to discuss doing a malacha, or certainly doing business on Shabbos. Saying this Shabbos geret, obviously, I hope everyone knows that doesn't work. If you say you're not supposed to discuss on Shabbos, but here it is, it doesn't help. The Gemara does say in Masechet Shabbos expands this Isa v'dabra dabra shoy he diburcha b'Shabbos ki diburcha b'chol, expands it not only from speech but to reading material as well. The Gemara says one is not allowed to read shtari hadyotas. What are shtari hadyotas? Documents that are not documents of business, hadyot, regular documents. A person is not supposed to read them on Shabbos. Why? Because reading material is a form of speaking. It's shaloy he diburcha b'Shabbos ki diburcha b'chol. And it seems that even though the primary Isser probably would have been with business documents, the Gemara clearly expands this to other reading material as well. Any reading material, it seems, which is not mitzvah related would be included in the Isser of Shtari Hedyotis, which is really an extension of Vidavar Dover, that the way you speak on Shabbos should be different than the way that you speak during the week. If you look at the second source, so the quotation from the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, it quotes there the opinion of Rabbi Nechemia, which we haven't in our Paskin like. Rabbi Nechemia said, Kisvei HaKodesh ain't Karin Bahen b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to read Nacht on Shabbos. Why? Why? Kidei Sheyomer, so that people will say, if you can't read Kisvei HaKodesh, Kol Shekein Shtari HaDyotos, they asked reading Nacht, because people should realize that you're not supposed to read business papers on Shabbos. They asked reading Nacht because of that reason. That's already a far extension. But we don't paskin that we also reading Nach because of it, but it sounds like from the Gemara that it's not just regular documents. We actually have expanded even further, not to Nach yet, but we have expanded it further to include any non-mitzvah-related reading materials also on Shabbos. If you look at the third source, the Gemara's quotation of the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, which says that Mona Adam es Archav es Parparosa Mipiv of Aloy Min Aksav. A person is allowed, many women are starting to become aware of this halacha, you're not supposed to have a guest list or a menu which you're reading from on Shabbos. So the Gemara has two reasons why that's so. One is because you might come to cross things off. If you have a menu, so when you've served that item, or if you have a 3-day yontif, if you have a menu for all the days, so you might come to start crossing things off when they've been served already. So the so the Gemara says it's also because maybe you'll come to cross things off. And then the Gemara says it's also because of Kriya Shtari Hedyotos. You're reading reading material which is not mitzvah related. There's no business here. You're not running a restaurant, but it's not mitzvah related reading material, and therefore it sounds like that was included in the Iser of reading Shtari Hedyotos. The Gemara there continues, and it says also, Ksaf HaMahalek Tachas Hatzura V'Tachas HaDiyuknos. If, let's say, in your town they have a statue of a person standing on a horse with a big, you know, bayonet, and underneath it has a description of who he is. So it's a statue, or you have a picture that has sometimes a subtext of who the painter was, or what was being depicted in the picture. All of that, the Gemara says, is also the cross of the Shabbos, because of it's of Kriya Shtari Hedyotos. You're not supposed to read non-mitzvah-related reading material on Shabbos. So all of that seems to be included in the Iser of reading material on Shabbos. the Shulchan Aruch does quote a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban with regards to books of general wisdom, or Sifrei Chochma included in the Issa of reading Shtarei Hadiotos on Shabbos. Surprisingly, the Rambam's opinion is, in the Perush of Mishnayos and Masechta Shabbos, that the Sifrei Chochma are Osir on Shabbos. The Rambam is probably referring to a science book, that if one wants to read the science literature on Shabbos, medicine, so he says that's also included in the Issa of Shtarei Hadiotos. Even though there's no business involved, but it's non-mitzvah related reading material, so the Rambam assumed that that was included in the Issa of Shtarei Hadiotos. The Ramban...
So kids studying...
we'll get to one second. The Ramban... I'll get to your point. The Ramban disagrees, and it's another opinion. Both opinions are quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, and he says that books of general wisdom are allowed on Shabbos. That's not similar to business documents. Regular letters, news, maybe that's similar to business, and they ossered it along with business. Books of general wisdom, science, that's so different that they never ossered it together with the regular Shtarei Hadiotos. Both opinions are quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. If you look at the fourth source, Oser Limud B'Shabbos V'Yontav Zulas B'Divrei Torah, you're not allowed to learn on Shabbos and Yontav anything that's not Torah, but Afilu Sifrei Chochma Oser. That's the opinion of the Rambam. V'Yesh Mishamata, that's the opinion of the Ramban. And the Mishnah Berurah writes that the minhag is to be Meiko on this. But you can read a Sifrei Chochma on Shabbos. The Be'er Heitev on that Sif in Shulchan Aruch, Shin Zayin, Sif Yud Zayin, says that if it's a book of history, everyone agreed was allowed to be read on Shabbos. The Jewish history, secular history, because the works of history, the Be'er Heitev says, are always considered to be works of Musar. In what ways are books of history works of Musar? So I think it could be explained in one of two ways. The Chazon Ish writes that Amunah in his Sefer, Amunah Bitachon, a little sefer that was printed at the end of the regular Chazon Ish, now it's printed in a separate volume. So Chazon Ish explains that works of history are works of Musar because a person looks back at mistakes that other people made in the past victories that they had, and a person learns how to strategize his own life. He learns from other people's mistakes, he learns from other people's successes, and he figures out, he engages in the process of self-perfection, which is really what Musar is all about, ultimately coming closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So a person, in that sense, history is also a work of Musar, that we ourselves can perfect ourselves and better ourselves. Rav Huttner in his letters in the Pachad Yitzchak, as well as Rav Ochanan in his, Rav Ochanan Wasserman in his letters, the Kovetz Mamarim, take a slightly different angle upon this. They say that, no, if you read history, so then you have the ability to look at hundreds of years, thousands of years, at a glance. Meaning I could look at how the world history has developed. And from that perspective, a person could get a greater appreciation of the way the Ribbono Shel Olam is controlling the world, and perhaps dictating world events towards a certain end. So in that sense, works of history are also works of Musar, and that a person gets a greater appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So works of history, that's why, by the way, on Tisha B'Av, people are always searching for reading material. So many Achronim write that modern, the contemporary poskim, that one is allowed to read, let's say, Jewish history books or things like that, because of this halacha in Hilchos Shabbos, that works of history are considered to be works of Musar. So on Tisha B'Av also, it's a mutar reading. What about then studying for a test? A common question we always get here in the college. So can you study for a history test or a science test on Shabbos? So we pass in science, you're allowed to read Sifrei Chochma, Sifrei History. That's like reading Mesilas Yesharim. So you should be able to read them on Shabbos. So Shmuel Shabbos Kol Chassid though says, here you're studying for a test which is after Shabbos. So he said, maybe it's Hachana, maybe you're preparing for after Shabbos on Shabbos. So the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chassid has a very altruistic perspective on education. He said, no, the test is really just there to inspire you. It's the carrot to inspire you to learn, to be interested in the material. But of course, when you actually are, we're spending all these thousands of dollars on the education of our children, we're doing it because they should have a genuine interest in the information that they're being taught. So Shmir Shabbos Kol Chassid quotes in the name of Shlomo Zalman, he says, if they're studying for the test, probably because they're interested in it. The test is just the motivation of why they sat down now to study. But he says that they're really, it's just because of a real interest in the information. Shmuel Shabbos Kol Chassid does say, if they're really not interested in it, they're just doing it to fulfill an obligation to be Yotzei, and they hope they forget everything that they studied the minute after the test is over, then it's Aser. But if a person has a better perspective on education, then it would be all right.
Is there an issue to learn Tosfos on Shabbos because of the fact that it could be Shverat Tosfos and
I don't think so, no.
I'm serious. I saw that.
Yeah?
Yes.
I'll give you a kua.
Doesn't say that on Shabbos you should chazer the what you learned, not
so that you shouldn't have the shverkai.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Shabbos is usually a day for chazer. So anyway, it seems that for the Rambam asked even Sifrei Chachma, we saw that one is not really supposed to be a menu or a list of guests or even a subtext to a picture or a statue. All reading material that's not mitzvah related, as the Shulchan Aruch said, that's not the Torah, a person is really not supposed to read on Shabbos as part of the Issur of Gishtari Hadiyotos, which has its basis in the Pasuk and Sefer Yeshaya, of the Dabar Davar Shloye Hediburcha B'Shabbos Kediburcha B'Chol. So even if the paper was printed before Shabbos, we haven't even gotten to the real issue yet, even if the paper was printed before Shabbos, the Wednesday paper, but it's a version of the basically news, it's not articles of Jewish interest, or articles of history about a community somewhere in Hungary that's defunct. No, it's a version of the Jewish version of the week's news. How is one allowed to read that on Shabbos, even if it was printed earlier? So in fact, the Mishnah Berura quotes from some Achronim that they said one is not allowed to read the newspaper on Shabbos. But then he quotes from others who are mekel, from the Shulz Yaakov and from the Sheilas Yavetz, who are mekel to read the newspaper. What are they basing themselves upon? They're basing themselves upon two arguments or two reasons to be made, one of which no longer applies today, and one of which could apply today. Well, one that does not apply today is what the Shulchan Aruch is quoted here in Source 15. Shulchan Aruch says that if a person receives a letter on Shabbos, Likros Bigeres HaShluchalo, a person receives a letter, Im Eini Odeo Makosavbo, if he doesn't know what it says, Mutter, then it's allowed to be read. He's not supposed to read it verbally, you know, verbalize the words, he's just supposed to read it with his eyes. If he gets a letter on Shabbos, he's allowed to read it if he doesn't know what it says. Why is he allowed to read it if he doesn't know what it says? So he's quoting from Tosos, because sometimes a person would receive an urgent letter on Shabbos, and you would need to know what it says for some matter of pikuach nefesh, for some issue that's perhaps relating to the Jewish community. Maybe a war broke out, maybe someone needs you, they need something from you, and the way they would communicate with you would be through the Pony Express, through getting a letter in the mail. So that's what they quote in the name of the Nitziv. And the Torah Tamima has a four-volume magnum opus, Baruch Halevi Epstein, called the Makor Baruch. Part of it was translated by part, which is a biography of his uncle, the Nitziv, was translated into an English book called My Uncle, the Nitziv. After that, it was promptly put into Cherem. Why was it put, many years ago already, why was it put into Cherem? So one of the primary reasons it was put into Cherem was because it said there that the Nitziv, this is what the Torah Tamima claimed, that his uncle, the Nitziv, read the newspaper on Shabbos. He sat down Friday night to read the newspaper. So those who had a certain perspective on the Nitziv said, oh, the Nitziv read the paper because he was the leader of the Jewish community and there was urgent news that might be in the newspaper, so he needed to read it on Shabbos as a matter of pikuach nefesh. But that didn't mean that the Hamaynam, that everybody could sit down and read the newspaper. The Nitziv was reading the newspaper. But because of the takala, because of the michshol, that the book presented that the Nitziv read the newspaper on Shabbos, so it was put into
Right, so was very... resentful that they came out against it. He knew that
Sefer, but
almost
retired. Yeah, yeah.
And he
came out after reading it. Okay, for different reasons. However, Rabbi Bodner has a popular Muksa book, 20, 30 years old already. The old Muksa book, that was put an English book, the English Sefer that was put out by Pinchas Bodner from Lakewood. So he quotes there many original tshuvas from Rav Moshe and from Rav Shlomo Zalman that you can't find elsewhere. He quotes that from Ramosha that this kula no longer applies, not because of an opposition to newspapers per se, but because already in the times of Ramosha, the best way of communicating urgent news was not through the mail or was not through a newspaper. There would be other modes of communication that a person would use, the phone, or you'd find that through the radio. And nowadays, obviously, there are other ways that a person would find that urgent news. So Ramosha said that heter of reading the letter, because maybe it contains something that's so urgent, or the paper that was printed on Wednesday, maybe it has something that's so urgent for me that I have to read it on Shabbos, I don't think any longer would apply. However, what does apply, and this is quoted by the Shvus Yaakov and the Sheilas Yavetz, which are the poskim that the Mishnah Berurah says who were makel to read the newspaper. If you look in Source 6, the Mishnah Berurah says, "Achvitshuva Shvus Yaakov makel bozeh." Even though Harbe Achronim Osrim, Ishvus Yaakov was Mekel, and the Sheilas Yavetz as well were Mekel to read a newspaper on Shabbos for a different reason. The Ramah in Sif Hey, I'm sorry, the Ramah in Source 5 over here says, if you look over here in Source 5, So the Shulchan Aruch says you're not supposed to speak on Shabbos the way you speak during the week. And then if you look at the Ramah where it says Hagah, in the middle of the line, Ubnei Adam, Ubeiz Aleph, Ubnei Adam, Shesipor Shmuos V'divrei Chidushim Hu Oneg Lohem. If you have people who like to hear the news, or like to hear different stories, or different items of general interest, Hu Oneg Lohem, that's how they enjoy Shabbos. Mutar L'Sapron B'Shabbos K'mo V'Chol. Then a person is allowed to read it on Shabbos, just like he would read it during the week. So the Sheilas Yaivitz and the Shvus Yaakov are both makel to read the newspaper on Shabbos because, even though it's just a version of the general news, which is not mitzvah related, it should have been included in Shari Hediotos because that's what people enjoy doing. They enjoy reading the newspaper. So it's a manner of Oneg Shabbos. If you enjoy doing it, it should be allowed as a kiyum. The whole reason Shalei HaDibrucha B'Shabbos K'Dibrucha B'Chol was because of the Karasa L'Shabbos Oneg. You're supposed to enjoy Shabbos. This is the way they enjoy Shabbos, is by reading the version of the Jewish news.
But how do they deal with the problem of Shtori HaJotos? Talking about it as opposed to reading about it.
Reading about it and talking about it are the same.
Uh-huh.
So what if they ride in the country, drive the car in the country, they could enjoy that too. So maybe they could do that.
That's not only a problem of the Karasal Shabbos Oneg, that's a problem of Savaro Age Bachomos Rosekham Yom Shabbos. This is only a problem of the Karasal Shabbos Oneg. So the way they enjoy Shabbos is to read the newspaper.
So that means you can have your TV on the timer and it goes on, you can watch it.
Yeah, asking different things. We're talking about reading Shari
Gedis. We're talking about enjoyment.
Why is it different?
Because you're talking TV, whatever issue there is with a television or an automobile is a separate issue. That's not an issue of a Karasa or Shabbos.
TV, you can have in the time.
I'm saying we're talking about topic A and you're asking about topic B.
Enjoyment, the same topic.
That's right, because that's not only a problem. If television would only be a problem of Shaloi Hei Diborcha B'Shabbos, Kei Diborcha B'Chol, you'd be right. The problem is it's not. There are other issues involved in watching television. Why can I wear shatnez? Because I enjoy wearing shatnez. It's a separate issue. The problem of reading Shtari Adiotos is a problem of Shalei Hei Diburcha B'Shabbos Diburcha B'Chol. So since it starts as an issue of owning Shabbos, if that's the way they enjoy Shabbos, so then there might be room to be makel.
Are you separating the issue of Jewish news versus enjoyment of reading about the world?
No, same thing. Same thing. Shtari Adiotos. Non-mitzvah related reading material.
Read the pen.
The poskim all point out, though, the Sheilas Yaivitz and the Shvus Yaakov say, but what about the advertisements? That's planning to do a lot in the following week. And most of the Jewish papers are all advertisements. I think that's not for anything besides the advertisements. So then, and that's why people read it, is for the advertisements. So they both say that you can't read the newspaper, you can read it, perhaps the news, if that's what you enjoy. If you don't enjoy it, you don't enjoy it. But if that's what you enjoy, you can read that, but not the advertisements.
The advertisements are half the enjoyment.
Right. So that's what I think that's true. So I think the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa says, if you want to read about an advertisement that happened already, something that happened already, meaning you have no interest in acting based on this advertisement. Right, exactly. So that's what I'm going to say. So the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa says, if let's say it's an old advertisement, some people will enjoy reading for historical reasons, old advertisements. So if you like that, so Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa says that's no problem on Shabbos. It's only if it's actionable advertisements. So I think that most people, when they read, I know myself, but when I've read a Jewish newspaper, I don't think I've ever once, and this doesn't bode well for the advertising industry, I don't think I've ever once acted based on an advertisement in a Jewish newspaper. So if you actually make clippings and plan on going to these stores on 13th Avenue after Shabbos, then okay, you can't do that. But if you have absolutely no interest in doing it, so then you're just interested to see, what is Art School publishing? Just interested in Jewish life in general, and you want to feel attached to it. Now, I don't think there'd be an issue in reading advertisements either, unless they're actionable for you.
Not advertisements up on news, far more Shiva does, not the Dvar Mitzvah.
Right, so it's the Dvar Mitzvah anyway. But a lot of them are not the Dvar Mitzvah.
What about the differentiating between actual news and the movie page and sports or things like that?
You asked me
somebody
to comment on movies?
Movie
I've already commented on Cars on Shabbos.
We're
trying to focus on
that.
I'm not commenting on movies
now.
It's a
separate
issue.
You might want to read the movie.
I'm discussing reading material. What a person deems, I'm not discussing what's proper reading material in general. You have to figure out what's kosher reading material in general. But if it's kosher reading material in general, then that's the issue. So those who are makel to read that's the first half of our topic. Reading the Shabbos newspaper, assuming that it's not the articles of Jewish interest, that might be Chafetz Shemayim or articles of history, but assuming that it's news or the advertisements, that's the basic issue is those who are machmir because it's Shtari Hediotos, and we can understand that. And that's where Armeko, because they assume that that's part of their owning Shabbos is to read the newspaper. What is really the more greater issue is if you subscribe to a newspaper, which is hopefully is not a Jewish newspaper, which is printed Shabbos morning, and then arrives at your house Shabbos day. What's the issue with that? Well, the issue with that is twofold, but it's really the same issue. And that is that I'm asking a Nachri to print a paper for me Shabbos morning.
Hopefully.
That's a malacha that's involved in that.
Hopefully.
Hopefully it's a Nachri. If it's not a Nachri, nothing to talk about.
You're not asking the Nachri. The Nachri is doing it anyway.
Okay, we're going to get to all of these stars. So you're asking, but let's start with the problem. The problem should be that you're asking the Nachri to print a newspaper for you Shabbos morning, and then I'm asking the Nachri to deliver it to my home. Both issues of Amir LeNachri. Midrabanan on Shabbos, one is not allowed to ask a Nachri to do a malacha for you on Shabbos, Midrabanan. So some would say, well, you're not asking the Nachri on Shabbos. When are you subscribing to the newspaper? On Tuesday, Wednesday. I didn't ask a Nachri to do a malacha for me on Shabbos. So the issue of Amir or Nachri applies in both directions. It applies on Tuesday to ask a Nachri to do a malacha for you on Shabbos, and it applies on Shabbos to ask a Nachri to do something for you on Tuesday. Rashi, and throughout Shas, quotes two reasons. Some call it a contradiction in Rashi, but it's probably not a contradiction. Rashi says there are two reasons to ask Amir or Nachri. One is because of Vidaber Dover. I'm discussing doing a malacha on Shabbos. We just got through saying, you're not supposed to discuss doing a malacha on Shabbos. So here, if I ask the Nachri, can you turn on the light for me? Well, then that you just discussed the malacha, so you violated that. And then Rashi says, also, because the Nachri has become your shaliach, if I empower the Nachri to turn on the light, I say, can you please turn on the light? That's also because he's now acting as my shaliach. Just like the shlichus in Kiddushin, if I ask a Nachri, I ask somebody to marry a woman for me, I ask a person to divorce a woman for me, there's shlichus. So too, with regards to Amir Nachri, there would be a concept of shlichus.
Is there
a
shlichus by a Nachri?
L'chumra. L'kula no, l'chumra yes. So Rashi says, perhaps there's a separate issue over here of shlichus to the Nachri. So many ask, why does Rashi quote both reasons? Why the reason of a dabra and shlichus? Why do I need both? So many Achronim explain, this is in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and Avnei Nezer, and the Stipler has this, everybody says the same thing. And that is that Rashi was trying to answer both of these two scenarios. If I ask a Nachri on Tuesday to do a malacha for me on Shabbos, problem of the dabra. I'm not discussing a malacha on Shabbos. Shabbos. I discussed on Tuesday. I asked him to do something for me on Shabbos. So that's also because of shlichus. Because the Nachri has become my messenger. I empowered him. So then when he acts on Shabbos and prints a newspaper for me, it's a problem of he's acting as my messenger, my agent. And Rashi also wanted to ask, asking a Nachri on Shabbos to do something for you on Tuesday. That's not a problem because he's acting as my messenger, as my shaliach. That's a problem because when is he doing the malacha? He's doing it on Tuesday. That's a problem that he, v'daber dover, I discussed the malacha on Shabbos, which you're not supposed to discuss.
When does the union of Shabbos begin at the time that it's...
You ask him.
Well, I didn't ask him. That also not that it is on Shabbos.
I asked him... No, if I ask him on Shabbos to do something on Tuesday, no malacha happened on Shabbos. No, when he does the malacha, that will be on my behalf. That's a problem. Yeah, so not until Tuesday.
I don't mean to split hairs, but is there a difference between Amira L'Akum and Nachri?
No. Let's assume for our argument's sake that they're all the same. No Nachri is Chayv and Shmir Shabbos, and all Nachrim are included in the Yisrael Amira Nachri. It'll make a difference whether he's Ovid or Vedazar or not. So, but some say, those who discuss the issue of this issue of newspapers, some say that perhaps here we have another reason to be makel. And that is not only did I ask the Nachri on Tuesday, but I asked the Nachri, when I ask him on Tuesday, I'm not asking the guy who's actually printing the newspapers or the guy who's actually delivering the newspaper, I'm asking the guy in the advertising department or the guy in the subscription department. He in turn tells the guy who actually prints the newspapers, hey, print one for Yankel. But he's not the guy who's actually doing it. It's once removed. Does once removed help? So if you look over here in the Mishnah Berurah in source 8, he says, that which we hold, Amir Lanachri is also midrabanan. The Mishnah Berurah says it's Afilim Omer Le'enu Yehudi, Sheyom Le'enu Yehudi. Even if I tell one Nachri, who tells in turn tells another Nachri, it's once removed, that's still prohibited on Shabbos. But v'hachavos yoir b'simin nun gimel mitzavei d'hokev azeh. V'hachavos yoir was meiko, that if it's once removed, that is allowed. The Mishnah Berurah thinks that it's wrong, and most achronim think that v'hachavos yoir is wrong. because the Mishnah Berurah over here is quoting, if you look, Avodas HaGershuni, who was a contemporary of the Chavos Yair, and his tshuva is printed alongside the Chavos Yair, and the tshuva is Chavos Yair, where he says the Chavos Yair is wrong in Svara, and he's wrong in proof. He says it's against the Gemara, and it makes no sense. So he says it has no basis whatsoever. He has a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Meshecha Shabbos, you're not allowed to hire a contractor who's going to hire workers on Shabbos. Even though the contractor doesn't do any of the work, the contractor contracts it out to people who work by the day. You're not allowed to hire a contractor on Shabbos, even though he himself is not going to do the work. He's going to ask another Nachri to do the work. It's all awesome. So that the head of the Chavos Yair is really nothing to talk about. What there is to talk about is the next source, the Bir Halacha, quotes from the Chasam Sofer, who says, perhaps if we put two and two together, we'll get, as Rav Shechter would say, we'll get 15. Perhaps if we put two things together, maybe we'll come out with a kula. And that is, if you ask the Nachri on Tuesday, and it's once removed, perhaps there is what to talk about. Because when I ask him on Tuesday, what's the only problem? If, let's say I ask the Nachri on Tuesday, make a subscription to the New York Times, that's Shabbos. So the only issue is, not V'daber Davar, the issue is of Shlichus. He acts as my messenger, my agent, when he prints for me the newspaper Shabbos morning and delivers it to my home. So the Chasam Sofer says, if that's the only problem, perhaps Amira da Amira, where it's once removed, solves that problem. It would be a problem of a Daber Dover, I'm speaking about doing a Melacha on Shabbos, so even though I hire the contractor, and the contractor hires other contractors, I didn't ask the guy who's actually doing the work myself, but I'm discussing doing a Melacha on Shabbos. You can't discuss doing Melacha on Shabbos. So Amira da Amira, says the Chasam Sofer, perhaps it's only a problem of discussing Melachos. But acting as my agent, acting as my messenger, my shaliach, if it's once removed, perhaps you don't have that issue. So the Chasam Sofer, that's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah over here, as the last, over here in Source 9, says, perhaps if you ask on Tuesday, you don't ask on Shabbos, but I ask on Shabbos for him to do a malacha for me on Shabbos, I ask before Shabbos on Tuesday for him to do a malacha for me on Shabbos, and I don't speak to the Nachri who's going to do the malacha himself, perhaps there is room to be mako.
Is there another stage of removal if you're asking for a weekly subscription?
No, it doesn't help. But then he says, the Chasam Sofer, the Mishnah Berurah comments, his editorial comment about the Chasam Sofer in the last line, V'umilsa chadati, this is something brand new. He says, this is hard to deal with. V'mitshuvas harajva muchach v'heipach. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't like it. But maybe there's room to begin to discuss if you subscribe to the New York Times on Tuesday and it's once removed, that perhaps perhaps one could get the beginnings of a room to be mako with regards to the subscription on Shabbos, Shabbos morning newspaper. However, as we'll see, yeah.
Where's Muktzah?
Muktzah? No one's discussing Muktzah.
No one. No.
You have to ask the
same. He's printing a newspaper for me.
You have to ask the same.
Yeah, it's being born on Shabbos.
Yeah.
So
you have bigger problems than Muktzah. You have bigger problems. You have bigger problems than Noah. You asked him to write for you a newspaper. You can't do that.
Well, hold on one second. If I call up on Tuesday and say I want a paper on Shabbos, or do you think they're going to print one more paper?
That's a very important question which we need to get to. But if you think all the Jewish community would cancel the subscription to the New York Times, would they print less newspapers?
No.
I think most rational people will say yes. Not that anyone who said no is not rational. But I think most people will admit that the demographics, once they analyze it raw data-wise, the demographics of the New York area are such that if the entire Jewish population would cancel the subscription to the New York Times, it would print less. But we'll get to it in a second. You're making an assumption, too.
Yeah.
Huh?
So the subscription process is electronic. You get on the website, you do it electronic.
What difference does that make?
Because you're not asking to do anything.
You are. Who do you think is answering the email?
It's all electronic behind the scenes.
No, there's nobody there. There's somebody behind the curtain. We hope he's a non-Jew. But it doesn't happen by itself.
Delivery guy.
I'm not a businessman. I'm a rabbi. But I think that there's someone must be behind the curtain over there.
This is the same.
However, as
FedEx,
we'll see.
FedEx question.
Yeah, we're going to get to him in 1 second. So, but the problem is the Chasam Sofer, when you really think about it, the Chasam Sofer really doesn't help at all. It doesn't help at all. Why? Because it has nothing to do with asking the Nachri. Turn to the, if you look over here at Source 10, the Mishnah said, the Gemara says in Meshechah Shabbos, the Mishnah Masechet Shabbos, Nochri Shehidlik Es Haner, Mishtamish Lori Yisrael. If a Nochri lights a candle, I'm allowed to benefit from that candle. But Ve'im B'Shvil Yisrael, if he lights a candle for me, then I'm not allowed to benefit from what he did. Even if you didn't ask him, even if you didn't ask the Nochri, even if you get out of the problem of asking, it's once removed and it's on Tuesday. If a Nochri does a Malacha for a Jew, even if it is gratuitously. You are not allowed to benefit from what the Nachri did for you. Let's say I'm reading in a room. Nachri comes and turns on the light. You're not allowed to benefit from that which the Nachri did for you on Shabbos. Even if I never asked him. Tosos asks a contradiction. Because if you look at the next source, source 11, the Gemara says, Nachri shavah lechabos. Let's say a person's house is on fire, lo aleinu, on Shabbos. Ein obrim lo kabei v'al tichbe. You can't tell him put it out, and I don't have to tell him not to put it out. If he comes on his own to put it out, I don't have to tell him to stop. And then the Gemara continues, "Bedoleke hitiru." If it's a fire, they allow. Lomar kol mechabe no maser. I could say whoever will put it out, I could do the remez. I could hint to him, whoever will put it out won't lose out. They'll be rewarded. It could be merames. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch. First of all, if you look at the next source, I'm sorry, it's two sources later, source 13. The Ramah says that in general you're not allowed to hint to a Nachri on Shabbos. To hint to a Nachri, oh, you know, we're sitting in the dark over here. Then whoever turns on the light won't lose out. So to say such a thing in general is not allowed. But if your house is on fire, so then you're allowed. They allowed it because of the hefsed that's involved. But in general, one is not allowed to be merames to a Nachri only in order to put out a fire. The Mishnah, what everyone knows, the remez that is allowed is based on the next source 14, where the Mishnah Berurah says that there's two types of remiza. There's a hinting, which is bederach tzivoy. There's a hinting, which is in the form of a command. I mentioned the action. Huh? A chola also. A chola, you could ask a Nachri. You could ask a Nachri outright, turn on the light, cook for me. You can do all these things for a chola. A chola, different story. We're talking about people in a chola. So the Mishnah Berurah says in the next, over here in source 14, that there's two types of remiza, there's two types of hinting. If I hint to the Nachri bederach tzivoy, where I mention the action, I say whoever puts out the fire will be rewarded. But I mention putting out the fire, then that's usur. Unless there's a hefsid involved, or if you have a chola, you could ask the Nachri outright. But if then there's remiza shalom bederach tzivoy, there's remiza bederach sipur, I come and I tell him gantz migila, I come, I knock on my friend's door and I say, hey, you know, we're sitting in the dark, the lights went out. He's like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. If that's what he says, that's what he says. If the Nachri gets the hint, or hey, you know, we have a light on in the room where we wanted to go to sleep. So if that's what he says, but he says, if he gets the hint, he says, oh, you want me to come turn off the light for you? It's, okay? That kind of remiza is allowed. However, if it's a remiza, bederech tzivoy, where I discuss the action that I want him to take, that's never allowed. That was never allowed. However, Tosas asks a basic question. Tosas asks, we said if a Nachri turns on a light for you without even asking, you can't benefit from the light. How can over here I benefit from the fact that he's putting out the fire in my house, but I'm asking him, Ramis to him, but even if he does it on his own, I'm not allowed to benefit. So Tosas comes up with a very important distinction over here in Source 12, where Tosas distinguishes between two types of benefit. There's a type of benefit where someone does something for me proactively and they created an object or an avenue of hanah, benefit which I didn't previously have. Someone turns on a light for me. He lights a candle. That's usur if the Nachri does it for you, even if you didn't ask. That's always usur. If the Nachri comes to put out a fire, okay, then you could benefit if he does it on his own, or then I could hint to him. Or let's say the only time hinting is allowed, even if it's in a circuitous fashion, it's this derech sipur, is if it's to put something out, to turn off an air conditioner, to turn out a light. But if it's to turn on a light, to turn on the air conditioning.
Or to cook.
Huh?
Or to cook for you.
Oh, cook for you is a problem. Bishulakam too, but yeah.
I'm saying, it's not Shabbos.
All of those things, I can't say we'd really love some chicken soup. Right, if you could heat up the chicken soup for us, all of that is also, there's no remiza. Even if he does it on his own, I can't benefit. The only time remiza and all of these types of things where actually how I ask him is relevant is if he does it, is if it's something that I benefit from the fact that he removed a problem. But if it's not that he's just removing a problem, he's doing something to me proactively, how I ask him is really totally irrelevant. So therefore, the issue over here with the newspaper should make a difference that I asked him on Tuesday and it's once removed, miramized him, or is it internet? It doesn't make a difference. Once a Nachri printed a newspaper for a Jew on Shabbos, there should really be nothing to talk about and that it should be us to benefit from no matter what. Yeah.
Didn't Rav Moshe have the same problem with the time clock?
Moshe asked the time clock because he said if Chazal would be around now and they answered Amir Lenachri, they certainly would have answered time clocks. And others disagree with the Mishnah, and they say, we don't answer things now. If Chazal had had time clocks, they might have answered that, but we don't answer things. Chazal and I are around now, and they can't answer it. That's a separate issue.
Yeah. How do you handle, like, going to work in a hotel on a shop?
It's tricky. You have to know what you're doing. Gives you a new perspective on what the job of Mashkiach is all about. It isn't so partial. This is reflected as well over here by the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Tesvav, where the Shulchan Aruch says if you get a letter on Shabbos, in source 15, where the Shulchan Aruch mentioned, if you get a letter on Shabbos that you're not allowed to read it, and the only reason you were allowed to read it was because you didn't know what it said, there might be an issue of Pikuach Nefesh or something of imminent importance in the letter. So Shulchan Aruch said that's why you're allowed to read it. Otherwise, you're not really allowed to read it. So we mentioned that it sounds like you're not allowed to read it because it's a problem of Shtari Hedyotos. However, the Mishnah Berurah mentions another reason you're not allowed to read it is because the Nachri brought it for you from Michutz L'Tchum. I didn't ask the Nachri to bring me the mail, but if a Nachri brings me a mail on Shabbos, I'm not allowed to benefit from the mail that was brought for me because it was brought for a Jew, and it's a new avenue of benefit which I didn't previously have. So therefore, it should be also. Because of that, Rav Moshe even claims that mail would be considered to be muksa on Shabbos. Why? You can't read it, and you can't benefit from it. So what are you going to do with it? So therefore, Rav Moshe claims mail is muksa on Shabbos. So Shlomo Zalman thought that people sometimes use letters. You can't read the letter, and I can't benefit from the letter. But I could use the letter as a coaster or something. People use it as a bookmark. So Rav Moshe claims people really don't use the letters as bookmarks or coasters. But Shlomo Zalman claimed if you use it as a bookmark or a coaster, then perhaps it should not be considered muksa because it has some form of benefit. And this avenue of benefit I had before, the Nachri didn't provide me with a new avenue of benefit. So therefore, then perhaps it would be allowed. So Shlomo Zalman claims the mail is not muksa. If it's though it's in a mortgage bill, or it's a paycheck, or it's an important document nobody would use if they're logical, no one would use their mortgage bill as a coaster, so then that would be muksa too. So if you know that you don't have in your mail any important documents, then that mail might not be muksa, because you could use it for other avenues of benefit which you had previously. But if you have important documents in the mail might actually be considered muksa, because it has no use, you can't benefit from it. And you can't read it because it's Shtari Adyato, so what can you do with it?
If you get a Jewish press and
if someone has a subscription to a newspaper,
yeah,
and the newspaper's policy, either you take it 6 days a week or not at all, and you say
we'll get to it in a few minutes. So what do we rely upon over here? The Nachri is doing malacha for me, and he's providing me with an avenue of benefit that I didn't previously have. So how can you ask the Nachri to print for you a newspaper or deliver the newspaper on Shabbos? So the answer that the avenue we're going to have to explore is over here, begins over here with source, where is it? Oh, that source that we saw before, source 10. The Gemara there says that if a Nachri lights a candle for himself on Shabbos, a Jew is allowed to benefit. Why is a Jew allowed to benefit if a Nachri lights a candle for himself on Shabbos? Because the Gemara there says, where is that Gemara? Because the Gemara explains, maybe I don't have it here, the Gemara explains, because ner le'echa, ner le'meya. A candle for one person is the same as a candle for many people. But Nachri lights a candle for himself, so we can all use the same candle. You don't have to add anything for me to benefit from the candle of the Nachri. So if a Nachri lights a candle for himself, I am allowed to benefit. The only problem would be if the Nachri lights a candle for a Jew, then I'm not allowed to benefit. Let's say, though, and look over here in source 16 it is. In source 16, the end, it says, Tashma, ner hadog b'mesiba. Let's say I walk into a room, and there's Nachrim and Jews there. So who did the Nachri light a candle for? Did he light it for the Jews, or did he light it for the non-Jews? If you lit it for the Jews, you're not allowed to benefit from it. If you lit it for the non-Jews, you are allowed to benefit from it. So who did he light it for? So Gemara says, if it's Rov Nachrim, the majority are non-Jews, so then you're allowed to benefit from it. If the majority are Jews, you are not allowed to benefit from it. So if you look at source 17, the Mishnah Berurah quotes a very important machlokas between Rav and Avraham and the Chai and Adam with regards to this point. What do we mean that you go based on the majority? If Rov are Jews, you're not allowed. If Rov are Nachrim, you are allowed. So the Magen Avraham claims that's only if we don't know who he did it for. We walk in and we don't know what the Nachri had in mind when he lit the candle. Did he have in mind the Jews? Did he have in mind the non-Jews? So if we walk in and we see it's Rav Jews, oh, probably had in mind the Jews. If we walk in and we see it's Rav non-Jews, he probably had in mind the non-Jews. Let's say we know he has in mind both. When they print the New York Times, they have in mind both. They have in mind the non-Jewish demographic and they have in mind the Jewish demographic. So we know you have in mind both. What's the halacha? Is it allowed or is it not allowed? So there, the Magen Avraham said, oh, that's never allowed. He did it for the Jews too. If he did it both for the Jews and the non-Jews, then it's never allowed. And the Chai Adam says that no, we follow Rov, even if we know he did it for both parties. If he did it for Jews and for non-Jews, we still follow Rov. And if Rov are non-Jews, so then it is allowed. And we paskin, generally speaking, we paskin like the most are maker like the Chai Adam. The Tiferes Yisrael has an introduction to Meshach HaShabbos in his parish on the Mishnah. It's called the Kilkelos HaShabbos. And there he discusses a very common shiloh. Let's say a person wants to take a cruise that travels on Shabbos. Many Jewish people do this. They hire out part of a cruise ship is gigantic. I don't think it's a Jewish cruise ship. It's all Jews. Most of the time, it's Rov non-Jews. Majority is non-Jews. But the problem is that the boat travels on Shabbos. And some people think there's no sails on these big cruise ships. It's not being pushed by the wind. It's someone is running the engine like you drive a car. Someone is driving this boat. So you're basically asking the Nachri to drive the boat for you on Shabbos because it travels from point A to point B. You can't say, I don't care, I would rather stay in point A. No, you when you sign up for the cruise, you are asking to go from point A to point B and you're basically asking the Nachri to drive you. So how is that allowed? So the Tiferes Yisrael says, well, he's driving the boat anyway. And who is he driving the boat for? He's driving the boat for the majority, which are non-Jews. So even though there are Jews that are there too, and they have in mind the Jews, they know you're there, but they provided you with kosher meals and the room for the minion, they know that you're there, but we assume, even though they know that you're there, that they have in mind the Rov Nachrim. The same is true with regards to electricity. Everyone discusses using electricity in Eretz Yisrael. It's a big shiloh. In Abrak, they don't use electricity. And in Shaman, Shalim, they do use electricity. How come no one ever discussed using electricity in America? Why? The Nachrim are running the electricity. Again, electricity doesn't run by itself. Someone is doing malacha somewhere for you to have electricity on Shabbos. So Ramosha says the reason, Ramosha has a tshuva about it. So Ramosha says it's allowed because they're doing it for the Rov Nachrim, even though there's no Jews are there, but they're doing the same exact act. They're not adding anything because of the Jews. They're doing the same exact act of driving the boat from point A to point B or running the generator for the non-Jews as they would for the Jews. So since they're doing the same exact act for you, it's all allowed. So that, in theory, could help us for the newspaper if they wouldn't print extra newspapers for the Jews. If they would print, let's say I'm in... Wichita. And if I have a subscription to the newspaper in Wichita. I would assume, I don't know much about Wichita, I would assume that they don't print special newspapers to the Jewish demographic in Wichita. So then, if I would cancel my subscription, they're going to print the same amount of newspapers either way. Then I agree that there's no issue. The problem is, in the New York Times, or the Wall Street Journal, any local newspaper, the Star Ledger, probably New Jersey too, they are very aware of their demographics, and I bet that they print more newspapers for the Jews. So now it's different. That's not the cruise ship. Here, the cruise ship, they're driving the same cruise from point A to point B, whether they're Jews on board or not Jews on board. So we say, we look at the Rove. Well, let's say I'm staying in a hotel over Shabbos. It's a non-Jewish hotel, one of these suite hotels, and they have a breakfast there in the morning. They're providing the same breakfast. They know there are Jews there, but they're providing, maybe they know, but they're providing the same breakfast either way for everybody. So for me to come down and take some of the hot water to make a coffee, they're not making the water for me. They're making the water for the Rav Nachrim. So then, even though they're aware that Jews are there, they're doing the same thing either way. That's allowed. But here, the New York Times is worse because they're printing a newspaper specifically for the Jews.
Yeah. I'm not sure that's true. If you have enough people, you have to generate more electricity. You have more power plants. You need more work actually being done. You're right. If it's a million people, you add one, probably it's nothing. But if you have more than a very, very tiny percentage, there's real work being done. And even with water, even Nama was that, if you have to boil a lot more water... Right,
but the question is, every time he's boiling water, would he boil less if the Jews weren't there?
Well, if you have more than 1% or 2%, you know, the chances are, you know, nobody wants to run out, but if you have more than you don't need 50%, even a 5, 10, 20%, you're going to actually do a little bit more work. So I wonder if it's a matter of whether it's in a sense where it's not recognizable that they're doing more work, because it sounds like with the electricity,
that's
you really are going to do more work. if you have a Jewish community of 20% or 25%, that's more work you got to do to generate the electricity.
Right.
But it's not obvious what you're doing. It's not apparent to all. You're just generating it for the whole, the whole city.
When you talk about printing for the Jews, I mean, from a business standpoint, they don't stop printing their paper.
No, but if all the Jews would cancel their subscriptions, would they print less? That's the relevant question.
They have a mindset of a population.
Most of the Jewish population probably reads a newspaper in Yom Kippur.
But it's not that they're not printing today because no one's going to read it.
If all the Jews would cancel their subscriptions on Saturday, would they print less papers? That's the relevant question.
The number of papers I print is not based upon the constituency.
No, but if we would cancel, the Jewish community at large, would cancel our, I mean non-religious Jews, would cancel our subscriptions to the New York Times, would they print less? And if your answer to that question is yes, then you have a problem. Because now it's not driving the same cruise ship from point A to point B, now it's already they're printing more newspapers to the Jews. Let me finish up and then we'll ask questions that feel bad going over, but I want to finish the topic. So this issue though, where they're printing more newspapers for the Jews is somewhat of a different issue. But really, there is room to be mako, perhaps still as well. There is room to be machmir, clearly, but there's room to be mako, perhaps as well. The Shulchan Aruch says over here in source 18 that Shaleach Adam Igeres Biyad Einu Yehudi, I'm allowed to give a letter to an Einu Yehudi before Shabbos for him to travel on Shabbos and deliver it. That's putting a letter in the mailbox. I'm allowed to put a letter in the mailbox on my way to shul. Why? Because I'm not asking the Nachmi to take the letter on Shabbos. He takes it whenever he wants. He could come Sunday and take the mail. He could come. There's no time. We all know that there's no time guarantees with the regular mail. So he could take whatever he wants. So I'm not asking him to do a melacha on Shabbos. So let's say I give my dry cleaning to the cleaners right before Shabbos. He could do the cleaning whenever he wants. If I tell him I want to pick it up Motzei Shabbos right after Shabbos on my way home from shul, that's a problem. Because then I'm asking him to do it on Shabbos. But if I just drop a letter in the mailbox on my way to shul on Shabbos, then that would be allowed.
Yeah, but the mailbox has a specific time on Saturday.
They do that for themselves. I'm not asking him to do that. The dry cleaners will probably clean it on Shabbos too because they don't want to work on Sunday. That's up to them. But then the malacha is on them. It's not on me. I didn't ask them necessarily to do that. Well, let's say I put out my garbage. Some places have garbage pickup on Shabbos. I put out my garbage pickup on Shabbos. I'm not sure what the malacha is involved. Well, let's say I go put out my garbage on Shabbos. So to ask him to pick, I'm not asking the guy to pick up the garbage. He could come Friday before Shabbos. He could come after Shabbos. I won't have any complaints. He decides to come on Shabbos. Okay, so that's up to him. It's no different than putting the mail in the mailbox where that is allowed. Or let's say there are a million examples of this, but just some common examples because they're important, as we, and it will be important in a second if we understand this concept. Let's say I have a woman in the house, a cleaning help in the house, and I ask her to wash the dishes. So I ask her nicely to wash the dishes, If I have a Shabbos sponge, you know, one of those sponges with the bristles are far apart, and I have a regular sponge, which is a problem of Shechita on Shabbos. She decides to use a regular sponge. That's not on me. She decided to do it like that. I didn't ask her to do it like that. There's a Shabbos sponge there, too. If there's no Shabbos sponge there, so then what do I really expect her to do? Wash it with nothing? That's unrealistic. Wash it with her hand? That's weird. So if there is another option, like doing the dry cleaning on Sunday, and the guy decides to do it on Shabbos, and it's not unrealistic to expect that, or to ask one to do that, so then the malacha is on him. Or if you live in Manhattan, it's a common shayla, if you have, the only way to get into the building is if you get buzzed in, unless you carry a key, but they don't want, let's say there is no air, they rely on the air, so there's no, how are you going to get into the building unless the doorman buzzes you in? So you have to live in such a building? So the answer is yes, the doorman could get up and open the door for you. He doesn't want to. Disturb him in the middle of reading the newspaper. So he buzzes you in. So he buzzes you in. That's his decision. I didn't ask him to buzz me in. He decided to buzz me in. He could get up and open the door. He doesn't want to do that. Again, that would all be on him. So that's why mailing a letter before Shabbos would be allowed. Let's say, though, you have an express package that I want to arrive at a specific day. I ask the Nachri, please travel for me on Shabbos. Or I arrange with Amazon to have my package arrive on Shabbos. Now, that's different. Now, I'm no longer just putting in the mailbox and saying, whatever you do is fine with me. I want you to travel on Shabbos. Or I want my newspaper on Shabbos morning. Am I allowed to do that? So look over here in Shulchan Aruch Reish Mem Zayin, Sif Hei, Source 19, where the Shulchan Aruch says, if the non-Jew is going anyway, Yisrael knows him though, he gerus mutar b'chol gavni. If I give him, he's going anyway. But I give him another package for me, that's allowed. Even though I'm asking him to travel on Shabbos. He's going on Shabbos. But he's delivering newspapers on Shabbos. But I ask him, take one more for me, that's allowed. Because he was going anyway. That's allowed because he was going anyway. And the Mishnah Brura over there quotes from the Magen Avraham that the Magen Avraham disagreed. The Magen Avraham felt that if to ask him to take an extra letter, to ask him to take one more letter, would in fact be usher on Shabbos. But if you go with the Shulchan Aruch, what the Shulchan Aruch said, that if the Nachri is going anyway, he's doing this same action anyway, I'm just asking him to do it in greater quantity, what's known as Riboy Bishiyurim, he's doing the same thing, but he's doing it in greater quantity, so the Shulchan Aruch seemed to imply that that is allowed when it comes to Amir Lanachri. And there is a source for that. If you turn to source 21, the Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara says that they used to have the minig of washing babies in hot water before the Mila and after a Bris Mila. Not only in Shabbos, during the week. It was an antiseptic. We don't do this anymore. We have better antiseptics. But they used to wash the baby in hot water before the Mila and after the Mila. So what happens if the water spills on Shabbos? He's planning to do a Bris Mila. And the water spills, the water for before the meal. If the water spills after the meal, you could heat it up on Shabbos. He's a cholin now. But if you have the water spills before the Bris Mila, and you want to heat up more in order to do the Bris, you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Ahu yinuka de Shabbat chamimei, amaluhu rabba. So rabba said, Nishayna le'ime. He says, wait, we have a cholin here. Who's our cholin? The mother. The mother just gave birth. So let's ask the Nachri to heat up water for the mother. And while we're heating up water for the mother, we'll heat up some extra water for the Bris. Gevaldik is a great head there. So Tosfos, the last source, Tosfos has two opinions. Is this true by all Amir Lanachri? That once he's doing a melacha anyway, I could ask him to do it in greater quantity? Or no, it's only mutter when it comes to Bris Mila, because Bris Mila is a very important mitzvah. If it would be any other Amir Lanachri, it would in fact not be allowed. So that's the machlok between the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham. The Shulchan Aruch, which we see over here in source 19, says if a Nachri is going anyway, there's no issur to ask him to do it in greater quantity. And the Magen Avraham disagreed. And the Magen Avraham said that the Magen Avraham said if you're asking him to do it in greater quantity, that's never allowed. It's not mutter by Miro Nachri. Perhaps by Bris Mila, it is allowed, but in other contexts, it would not be allowed.
The Magen Avraham only if he's going to the same place. Or even if he's making...
Yeah, in the same place. He's doing the same halacha
about Tzav. But if he's going to stop now in front of
So that's the problem. So let's now put the chips on the table, okay? So I'm asking the Nachri to do two things. I'm asking him to print a newspaper for me. Okay? It's assuming I'm not in Wichita, where they're printing the same number of newspapers anyway. If they're doing that, that's okay. Nothing to... Rav Nachrim. And they're aware that there are Jews, but we said that's no different than the cruise ship. They're printing the same thing anyway. Should be allowed. Well, let's say they're printing more newspapers for the Jews, but I don't know that much about newspaper printing, but I would assume it's all contained in the same action. They run the printing press longer, it's in greater quantity, but I hope that it's not a separate run just for the Jews. If that, in fact, is the case, so then really what I'm asking him to do, or even when he delivers the newspaper to me, he's probably delivering it to Rav Nachrim and my paper along with it. It's true, he stops by my house, but I would argue that's no different than the doorman who just doesn't want to get up to open the door. He could probably stop by the Nachri's house. And the fact that he doesn't stop. But he drives to my house. Why do you have to drive to my house? He could stop by the Nachri's house and walk to my house. He doesn't want to do that, but it's not unreasonable for me to ask that. The fact that he drives to my house is for his own convenience. So I'm basically asking him to do a malacha for me, to bring the newspapers from the printing house to my address, which is the Nisar of Hotzah, and print the newspaper for me, which is really something they're doing for Rav Nachrim, but they're doing it in greater quantity. So the Maram Shik, just the poskim who deal with the issue, the Maram Shik said that it's not allowed to get a newspaper because he's printing a newspaper for you, and he's dropping it off by your house, Gevald, how are you allowed to do this? I believe the Shmir Shabbos Kilchosa quotes from Shlomo Zalman that perhaps there's room to be mako if we consider the whole thing a ribuy b'shiurim. If we consider, since he's printing newspapers anyway, he's just doing it in greater quantity, or he's driving the newspapers to my neighborhood, but he's just doing it in greater quantity because of the Jews, so then perhaps ribuy b'shiurim, just like the Shulchan Aruch said, if a Nachri is going somewhere, I could give him an extra letter to take along the way, perhaps doing a malacha, but doing it in greater quantity, for the Jews, is not as much of an issue by Amiru and Achim. Rav Sternbach has a tshuva, one of the rabbis here in Yeshiva, Rav Black, told me this is what he did. He told them, I don't want the Saturday Times. I don't want it. Don't drop it off by me. And they keep dropping it off. So if they keep dropping off, at that point, the Nachri is doing it for himself. I tell the Nachri, don't turn the light on in the room. He turns it on anyway. That's not for me. Then he did it because he has some hang-up about turning on the light. He wanted to turn it on. So they obviously don't register those type of things. They say, tell them, I don't want the Saturday time. They keep delivering it to me. Okay, that's on their cheshbon. But I suspect if you tell them, I don't want the Saturday time, at some point, if you tell them, you call up the right people, and you tell them, I don't want it, I would suspect that they would stop delivering it to you. So if that's the case, which I suspect is the case, I don't think that way of getting the Saturday Times, by telling them, I don't want it, and then they're going to deliver it anyway, and now it's on them, I don't think that would really work, because if you really communicated to them in a substantive fashion,
they say deliver the Saturday
stop.
Times with the Sunday Times. You said, I want the Saturday Times on Sunday. Bring it when you're delivering.
So the question is that legitimate? Meaning, let's say I say, I want the Saturday Times next Tuesday.
That's
like asking her to wash the dishes with your hands. They don't do that. They don't provide services. You can't ask for the Monday paper on Friday. That's like asking people to do things that don't exist. But if I would say, I don't want it, you cancel your status subscription. That you can do. But I think, so again, the bottom line is, we understand those who are machmir, but we can understand as well those who are maker on this. One last comment, and if you'll permit me for one more minute, is that even if the Sheilas Yavetz adds, even if reading newspapers is allowed on Shabbos, which again, we understand those who are Machmer, we understand those who are Mako as well, Shabbos is not really a day that's meant to sit down. Some people sit down Friday nights with the Jewish Press and the Yated and the Hamodia and this magazine and that magazine. Shabbos is not a day that's meant for reading newspapers. The Rambam says Shabbos is a day that's meant for learning Torah. So even if a person wants to read these things, it should be not be his main Shabbos activity. Shabbos is really meant, we got the point of the Shtar Yad Yotos, Shabbos is really meant for learning Torah. That should be one's main asset. If this is what one enjoys, then perhaps there is room to be made.